Forever I'll be here like I'm winning every minute. Take away my stars, I promise I'ma make it. No matter how you play it, forever I'll be in it. Forever I'll be in it, I'ma get it, I'ma get it. 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 No matter how you play it, forever I'll be in it.
Welcome to the Illusion of More podcast. I'm David Newhoff. You know, we spend a lot of time talking about the pros and cons of technological disruption in the creative industries, and each of us has our theories and predictions as to what the future might look like for a market like the United States. And to be honest, the discussions often revolve around how we should or should not be responding to the fact that technological forces have been shrinking the industries we built through the 20th century. In this context, I think it's very interesting to watch what emerging artists are doing in countries where there has been no creative industry to date. My guest on today's podcast is Singapore musician Kevin Lester, an award-winning hip-hop artist, writer, and producer. Personally, I think Singapore is a fascinating market to watch because artists like Kevin are really the first generation who want to build a homegrown creative industry from the ground up. This tiny city-state only gained full independence from British colonial rule in 1965, and its robust economy has largely been built on shipping, financial services, and exports of electronics and pharmaceuticals. And now, it's the children and grandchildren of that first generation of independent Singaporeans who want to make music and filmed entertainment and other artistic works. So artists like Kevin are determined to see Singapore develop a sustainable industry out of what can presently be called, I guess, a local scene. Kevin Lester has played multiple festivals around the world, and he's received numerous honors as an emerging artist. Just last month, he released his latest EP, Put Your City On, which contains the hit song Forever, a piece all about Kevin's determination to be an artist, and as an activist for promotion of the arts in Singapore. After signing with the new Asian-focused label BMBX, founded by Apple the App of the Black Eyed Peas, Kevin Lester rebranded himself as the Lion City Boy, in honor of Singapore's nickname, the Lion City. I spoke to Kevin at his home studio via Skype. Kevin, welcome to The Illusion of More. So, tell me first, you were born and raised in Singapore?
Yes, I'm born and raised in Singapore. My dad is half Indian and half Eurasian. So Eurasian is like, there's a bit of European in me. My mom has Portuguese blood. So I guess I'm that typical. In a way, I mean, although most people recognize Singaporeans as the different races, that they're the Chinese, the Malays, and the Indians. But I think I'm a good representative of what a Singaporean looks like, because it's, the new Singaporean is a mix of everything.
Right.
You know, they're usually a mix of, you know, all the different races, which is what Singapore has become, you know, which is a cool thing, I guess.
Now, of course, hip hop has become, you know, universal. It's been out there for a long time. But tell me, for you personally, why hip hop is your music of choice?
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess it's firstly in Singapore, when I first started listening to music, you know, like, it's not like in the States where you have like one dedicated like station for like urban music and things like that. Singapore is a mix of everything. Mm-hmm. So I started out listening to like different types of music. I grew on Green Day, Oasis, you know, Michael Jackson, of course. But it's my sister that introduced me to hip hop, you know, back in the day. So she was the one that started to play all these CDs that were really expensive in Singapore because they kept importing it. But as soon as I started to listen to hip hop and like started to play around with it, you know, like, I felt like it gave me a voice. So I sort of like fell in love with it that way, you know. I was that shy guy back in the day, but when I started to like, you know, write like my cheesy rhymes back in the day, it's like I felt like I could say a lot things more, you know. It gave me a like more confidence to say things to girls that maybe I wouldn't really say to them face to face. But it sort of started out in that way, you know, and I guess it grew into its own form with me.
And tell me a bit about where your music has taken you so far.
Well, I've been involved in a couple of groups, you know, since I started, like, you know, some R&B groups when I was a lot younger, you know. That's like it's like a Black Eyed Peas back in the day, you know. So, you know, I was that guy in the back learning everything. And soon, like, I started to jump into bigger projects that, you know, gave me a bit more of a spotlight in Singapore. But it's only in the last, I would say, maybe like three years that, you know, I've done like I began like a solo project, you know, under the name Kevin Lester, and then now moving on to the Lion City Boy. Like, I've seen the music like get exported out, you know, because I guess there's like good people who believe in me, you know, who want to see Singaporean artists like succeed or you know, shed some light that there is local talent out here. So I, you know, I've managed to play a lot in Toronto, and I've done New York, you know what, for CMJ. Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard of CMJ?
Yeah,
so I've done things like that as well. So I mean, it's been cool to travel and to perform in that way, yeah. And like and that's been my story. Like I want to bring music and meet people outside of this small little island.
So what about production? What have you produced to date, and what are you working on now?
I've released, like, you know, I mean, in the typical hip hop style, you know, I've done like, you know, all those like mixtapes and small things like that. But it was in 2012 that I released album called Everything You Love You Hate.
Mm-hmm.
I released that through Sony Red, which is actually they're based in New York, and they helped me distribute and hook me up with you know, playing in South by Southwest and, you know, doing those kind of good stuff. But recently I felt like the fans want, you know they don't really want the album anymore. So I mean, I've been releasing singles with videos like every other month.
Mm-hmm.
And I think like I've seen that growth, you know, or I see my fan base bigger in that way rather than, you know, back in the day where I just used to drop albums. I feel like the fans want something else these days. They want music quicker, and mm-hmm. So I've adapted myself to providing them, you know, with that kind of material.
So with regard to what you've learned about what fans want, has this changed your approach to your work?
Well, I mean, I guess when I was writing the album, you know, I sort of thought like, you know, things should be conceptual and, you know, and it's always nice to put out a story. But, you know, when I started releasing singles, like being connected with the fan, you know, I'm not being connected to the fan, but I realized I could get connected with the fans like a lot better. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, they start to respond a lot more. We have more conversations, you know, online or Facebook, or, you know, or they just like hit me up on email. So I mean, that's where I started to realize like, oh, I gotta keep doing this. But I mean, it's cool. I'm a writer, you know. I love to just keep writing tracks and storing them, and then, you know, when the time is right, we release it, you know. So it's not changed me as a writer, because I've always had a catalog. But, you know, it's just, I guess, you know, and a lot more, like, for Shahid, you know, and, like, for the guys involved in my team, there's a lot more strategy, and, you know, like, how long or what kind of video we should put out, you know. In that way, I think I've started to adapt and learn that there's a change in the business, or, you know, a change in the strategy that we push out music. You know?
So, Kevin, you're a musician in a country without a music industry, right?
Correct.
Right.
So given all that, how do you support yourself today and promote yourself as an artist?
Well, I mean, in terms of support, like, I don't just perform for festivals. Like, I also write for ads. I write for other artists. You know, I mentioned I was in Taiwan, like, I was writing for Taiwanese artists as well. So in that way, I learned to adapt and be a bit more enterprising with what I do.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt, being an original musician is my first, you know, that's my priority. But I know that there are sides of me that, you know, that I can still keep on working to continue to feed being this original musician to reach those goals that I want to. I mean, in terms of promoting myself, it's always a challenge, because in Singapore, back in the day when I first started to perform, you know, there are a lot more gigs out there, you know, on a Saturday, Sunday night. You know, you walk down the street and there's definitely a spot where, you know, there's like something going on. But in this day, it's more like an online game, I guess, you know. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of the way you reach your fans is just, you know, collaborating with YouTube artists, or like, you know, just, you know, that conversation online. You know, something that I've learned to really improve. I have to admit, like, you know, I've struggled at it sometimes, you know, like, but, you know, in this day, you got to keep at it. And that's the way I've been promoting myself.
So do you have a sense of who your fans are or where they are?
Well, I mean, the beauty of, like, I guess, is, like, you know, all this Facebook analytics, like, you can spot out, you know, like, you know, where the most of the conversation is.
Mm.
And I found that, like, Singapore and Malaysia, just because, you know, Malaysia is so connected, you know, by the causeway.
Sure.
And and Manila that are the three biggest supporters of my music. The mm-hmm. fourth is actually New York. I don't know. So that's kind of cool. You know, maybe because I did CMJ and I did a couple of shows in New York before, but the biggest chunk obviously is Singaporeans. And in that way, I guess we sort of tailor like, okay, you know, there's a post, you know, I got to post out to like the Manila fans in Tagalog as well. And I, you know, reach out to them in that way. And we're always a bit conscious of that.
So tell me a little bit more about the music scene in Singapore. I have a friend there, for example, who tells me that Korean music and entertainment is very popular.
Yeah, that's definitely true. You know, there's like when the Korean artists, the Japanese artists come around town, you bet, you know, like all the fans will be waiting at the airport. You know, like all the stadiums will be filled for sure, you know what I mean? But when it comes up to the original music scene or, you know, like the Singaporean scene, I think it's actually quite an exciting time because maybe, what was that, like 8 years, 10 years ago, it was like dominated by rock music, you know, like a lot of, you know, heavy alternative music. But I think in the last 3 years, you see a lot of diversity in Singapore. You know, you obviously you have your indie artists, your singer-songwriters, but there's a lot more electronic music that's coming out. There's like a really cool label called Darker Than Wax. You know, there's a label that is affiliated to the LA scene, which is like, you know, the Brain Feeder, you know, the Fly Low kind of sound. So, I mean, there's a lot of cool things happening. And I think that's the thing that I keep telling people, like, right now, there's no, if you were to pick, like, what is a Singaporean sound, there isn't. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of things happening here, and maybe because our scene is really small and it's growing, that we are, like, trying to figure out, you know, like, what is that Singaporean sound? So all these things are like, are just coming out, you know, all these different genres and all these different, you know, like music styles are coming to light now, I think, which is cool. I mean, if you're coming into Singapore to watch all these things, there's a lot to catch. But it's very much like a growing scene. I wouldn't say that, you know, anything is above anything like it. I wouldn't say indie is leading anything or what.
So I watched your TEDx talk that you gave, and in that you seem to imply that you could possibly take your music and leave Singapore, but that you're very determined to stay and be an advocate for your home and for artists in Singapore. Tell me about that.
I mean, like, I think, I mean, like I described in that video, I mean, I can't remember exactly what I said, but, you know, like, you know, as much as, you know, the things are difficult here, I really believe, like, you know, it needs to be built here first. You know, it needs to be, there's a lot that we're missing in Singapore. I mean, in Singaporean, they always talk about, you know, those like creative things that, you know, that obviously you can find in New York a lot more because of its history. Like in Singapore, we're missing things like that. And I want to help grow that. You know, a lot of artists, like, they find success outside and, you know, naturally, because it's a greater scene. But I mean, I call myself the Lion City Boy and, you know, and I feel like I'm responsible. Like I've chosen to like take the flag and be that guy, like say and to say that, you know, and we to be that leader, you know, like mm-hmm. you know, we gotta do it from here, because if nobody does it, you know, then I feel like that conversation might be lost, you know.
Right.
You know, whatever like we've done, even if when we go overseas to do or like South by or whatever, like I make it a point to come back and I try to educate musicians to tell them, you know, that's, you know, you gotta do this, you know, you gotta do that, like, you know, like you got to hustle more, or you got to try this new thing that everyone's talking about in South By, and try to bring those conversations that in the panels and in South By or Canadian Music Week and bring that into Singapore, because we don't really have that kind of stuff, you know?
Right.
So
right.
I think it's really important to sort of like, if it's not me that become successful, at least I help open a few doors that were closed before. And that's the way I think about it, you know what I mean?
Right. You mentioned challenges just now. What are some of those challenges? I mean, I think a lot of people might immediately think financial, but Singapore is a very good economy, so I'm guessing it's something else.
Well, there's a few things that you know, the artists will always talk about. You know, one would be radio airplay. You know, things like that. Like we have support. The radios have started to play, you know, a song an hour, or, you know, they say they have a local segment, you know, but we always look back to places like Canada, where they have quotas that really have encouraged or supported local music to, or at least help them help give it a bigger spotlight to grow to the masses. You know, we don't have things like that. Like, we don't have a quota that will stamp down, because it, I mean, if it's just an hour or segment that the current you know, person in charge implements, once that figurehead changes, you know, things might be different again, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I mean, those small things like that are challenges in a way. You know, we're still hoping for what is the norm, and outside in like the States and in Canada is not yet the norm in Singapore music, at least. You know, in terms of like even fan engagement, like I think that there is still some way to go with you know, the fans coming down to the shows, or like that synergy between the artists and the fans. Mm-hmm. Maybe because the scene is still growing, is still new. You still have the like a small, as you said, like a, it's not really an industry yet, you know, it's still like a scene in a way, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So in those ways, like those are the challenges that we face. It's not so much a monetary, you know, like as you said, economic, you know, struggle, but in terms of a scene, you know, like the small pieces of the puzzle are still not yet there.
Mm-hmm.
that we're hoping to help, you know, bring in together.
So based on what I know about Singapore, it seems to me locally grown culture, if you will, is really a very new thing coming from artists like you. I know, for instance, my friend's parents and many people of the generation just before yours are ethnically Chinese, and in fact only speak Chinese, and so only consume Chinese television and music and stuff. So I get this image that may or may not be accurate of people like you, Kevin, as being kind of the first to define Singapore's own music and artistic works. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I think that's kind of true. I mean, one of the conversations that the younger generation, you know, we're always talking about is like, how do we save, or how do we hold on to some of like, you know, our traditions, or like, you know, like I'm Eurasian, right? So like, mm-hmm. there's also like a Eurasian culture that, like, you know, in the food, or, you know, in the things that we do, in the songs that we sing,
mm-hmm.
you know, things like that are things that we're trying to hold on to. And I guess that's true, you know, like this younger generation, I feel like, you know, we're the ones that seem to be moving away from the previous, you know,
mm-hmm.
like understanding that you have to go through the system of primary school, secondary school, and, you know, then after you got your degree and make sure you go into mechanical engineering and things like that. It's this younger generation that's sort of defining that idea that it's okay to do music, it's okay to be an entrepreneur and like start up your online blog and, you know, and move off into your own business very quickly. It's this younger generation that is, I think, creating this new Singaporean that a lot of the older generation with the traditions are kind of not used to.
Right.
So I mean, in terms of like music, or, you know, anything creative, it's really sparking a lot of you know, new projects, or, you know, new initiatives, which is kind of cool in that way. But everyone's still adjusting to it, I think.
Sure.
But there is, I think, a new Singaporean in many ways, and I guess maybe because of social media, or, you know, because of everything's online, the general, like, you know, understanding of, like, you know, what you could achieve, you know, you could be doing it's easier to gain knowledge from, because back in the day, you know, everyone just sort of thought that was it, you know what I mean?
Right.
So I think that's the cool thing about the new Singaporean.
And what do you think is needed in order for, say, the music industry to grow?
Well, I mean, for me, like, I think I would love to see a lot more people with the experience come in to sort of guide us. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I'm a big fan of football, and I always see it in football teams. You know, when the teams aren't strong enough, or when the leagues aren't strong enough, like, you know, like you guys in the MLS, you bring in Beckham, you bring in, you know, all these big players to sort of bring that experience and bring that, you know, I keep using the word, but a better spotlight on that game. So, I mean, in terms of what we have here, like, I would love to see a lot more, experienced, or, you know, educated, you know, people in this in the specific fields of arts, of film or whatever, like come here to guide us and give us a, you know, a better plan or strategy to create, to build from this scene into an, mm-hmm. to an industry again, you know what I mean? At times, you know, that's what we're looking for, you know, like when, that's why when I go overseas, it's so inspiring, you know, to be around the energy, you know, of people who've done it before. And you know, even the, those small stories sort of like excite you and light a spark. I think like the only time that happens in Singapore is when Music Matters comes around. Music Matters, like, have you heard of that? It's like a, it's a conference that, that has been around for some time, for seven years like that. But in the last 4 years, it's like made its home in Singapore. And then you get a lot of Ezrin, who's like produced for, you know, Pink Floyd and people like that. You get like Justin Timberlake's manager, Lady Gaga's manager. They come in and they speak and they say great things and they give you advice, you know, like things like that could be really useful for the Singapore scene, rather than us like trying to guerrilla it, you know, every now and again. Well, not like really, not really guerrilla it, but like it's like trial by error. We're all like doing it together, you know, trying to figure out what's the best way to move about things.
Right.
But it would be great to have bigger figureheads in a way.
Now, one of the reasons you and I are talking is that back in April, there was a report about Singapore being a hotbed of piracy. The report stated that the rate of piracy among consumers was actually very high. Although the same report also indicated that when asked, Singaporeans in general tended to say that they thought piracy was actually a bad thing, that they thought it was wrong. Given your concerns about not only your own works, but about arts emerging in Singapore in general, what are your thoughts on the subject?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's exactly it. You know, it's a very strange, you know, thing where people know that it's bad, but, you know, they know it's not good for the artist, but, you know, it's still a very, like, social norm to do it. You know, it's like, you know, oh, I didn't catch that movie. It's all good. You know, I'll be torrenting it and things like that. You know, it's a very open topic, like out here, and it is like an issue with, you know, with the scene, and especially as you said, you know, because things are emerging and things are growing, like I feel like, you know, we need to sort of change that, to educate people, because I mean there are a lot of like very legal ways to be streaming music, and it's still free, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, you got your Spotify, you got your Deezer and things like that, and it's not so much of, you know, like the artist, you know, you got to make money back or things like that, but it's just a better way to again, you know, help grow the scene, I feel, you know. And there's a legal way to do it, you know, and if that is a social norm, I feel the scene will grow better and you know, and it will grow into an industry rather than still stay a scene or a very big gathering of people still, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, things like that are kind of important for our scene in its infancy, you know, like to instill that. I mean, I have a daughter, so I mean that's what we always talk about, you know, like my daughter is so young that, you know, we gotta, you know, it's okay to teach her discipline at this time, you know, because, you know, she'll grow and be better for it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'm saying it right, but I feel like it almost applies in the same way, you know, if you educate people right now and tell them the right way to do things, you know, we will be better for it, and it's sort of simple as that, you know, in a very, I don't know if it's a generic way, but I feel like that is the most important thing right now.
Right.
You know, like, even with myself, like, it was so strange, I found my music being, like, not bootleg, but, you know, people can screen capture, and they put up my music on YouTube, they just download my album art and just put it there, and these people from the States, you know, it's like I feel like I'm not really like, I'm no Kanye or nothing like that, you know, but people are already doing that to me. So I mean, it's great that there's another layer of exposure, but I'm losing out on connecting with my fans that to help me grow my fan base, you know. Like if I didn't have those bootlegs, you know, people would just go to my channel and then, you know, there would be a conversation there, and you know, it could lead to something more, you know, to come to my show or like buy my next album or things like that. So I mean, that's the way I feel about it. It's just like, you know, like it could, when people do things like that, it's missing that, it destroys or impedes the conversation between that the artist and the fan to help grow.
So I want to pick up on something you just said there, because it was interesting. Very often, those who support or justify piracy like to say that it's a means of connecting artists and fans. But you said something that I've said myself many times, which is that, you know, artists already have websites and YouTube channels and Facebook and everything else, and real fans can go to connect, you know, go where they want to connect with artists, so that when people take a different path to the artist's work, like through a pirate site especially, that connection's actually been diverted or hijacked. It's been lost.
Exactly. I mean, that's exactly it. Because, I mean, I feel like a lot of times the conversation is all about money, you know, oh, you know, you could have made money for monetizing or whatever. But, you know, there is a bigger, like story, you know, that I think people should focus on, which is exactly what you brought up, you know, that connection that as you go on to a different path, you think you're supporting me, but you're not really, you know. It's like that we miss that chance to talk, and then, you know, for me to grow and have a bigger story in that way.
So for anyone who hasn't heard of Kevin Lester yet, what song would you suggest listening to first?
Well, I've released a few, but it was funny because last night I was invited to the U.S. ambassador's house in Singapore.
Mm.
Yeah, so that was really cool, and you know, like a few of them knew my music because of like the work I've been doing, you know, with music piracy and things like that. And everyone went back to Forever, you know, like it was kind of cool. They like, these people are important people, like vice presidents or whatever. And they're like, hey, yo, Kev, you know, that Forever song is my jam, you know. So like, I never thought that, you know. Because a song like that is sort of still like lighthearted, and if you listen to the lyrics, it's a bit more serious than my other stuff, which is a bit more clubby or a bit more high energy. And, right. And I'm a big fan of trap, big fan of like ASAP, you know, the New York sound.
Right.
But I think if I were to point people to a song right now, like I would say Forever, because it's a song that's really, maybe because I don't know, because of this conversation or because of the conversation I've been having the last few days, that I would want people to know that. That is me, because I'm not just a musician. I'm, as I said in that TEDx, you know, I want to be a music activist, you know, and have a conversation, you know, about things that maybe people don't want to talk about. So Forever would be that song, I think.
And finally, tell me about the name Lion City Boy.
Oh, the Lion City Boy. Firstly, Singapore is called the Lion City. You know, we have many other names, you know, the Little Red Dot and things like that. But the name that sticks with the citizens, it's called the Lion City, and I call myself the Lion City Boy. You know, it was just a tag back in the day, but it's also, you know, a way to tell people that you know, that I'm from here, because as I've said many times in this conversation, the Lion City Boy represents this city and this home. You know, it's not just that fictional character that Singapore created, which is half, you know, a lion and a fish, you know.
Yeah.
It stands for a lot more. It stands for, you know, this new Singaporean. So that's who the Lion City Boy, I know that's what the Lion City Boy stands for.
Kevin, I want to thank you for being on the Illusion of More podcast. It's been a pleasure talking to you. No matter how you play it, forever I'll be in it. I'll be in it.